A fourth issue, I think, has always been an issue with software licensing is the problem of lock-in. For example, long-term contracts with the software licensing, people find it sometimes difficult to exit from these agreements. Lock-in and exit remains an issue. For example, when can you terminate your agreement with the provider? Can you get your data if you exit? And so the questions of term and termination rights and return of data, I think, are another negotiated term. One other issue that in software licensing, and in certainly in terms of use, providers always assert that they have a unilateral right to change services. The same issue can also come up in cloud services. Does a provider have the ability to unilaterally change services features? Not just availability, but security and other metrics. The final one is a topic that's dear to both Ann and I. We work in the intellectual property areas. How should intellectual property rights be treated? Who has the intellectual property rights when data is stored in the cloud? And what are some of the issues about, for example, that how do you protect your own intellectual property rights while avoiding infringing those of others? The other thing we've done, and in our chapter, and I think that you've been the leading force on this, is that having actual subscription agreements and highlighting what kind of terms. One, we have two real good examples of a subscription agreement that you drafted, and I think that highlights what those negotiating terms are. In the second term, you included in the chapter was a subscription agreement which favored the customer. So we have one for the provider, one for the customer. And so actually the terms about what's negotiated depends on whether you are the provider and the customer. So that's my list.
Thank you for mentioning the forms of agreement. And I think you have another form in the chapter as well, which is very helpful. In representing the SaaS customer, what suggestions do you have for them to pay attention to in the agreement from the perspective of the SaaS customer?
I'm glad you mentioned that, because customers have been basically in this environment, have been in a take it or leave it kind of mode too often, and especially with the business customer, and I think also with the mass market customer too, that you should be able to have some knowledge and some due diligence on what kind of data security will be given for the reasons we've talked about. You know, where is the data going to be stored? If you're a government entity and you're using the cloud, it may be important administratively where your data is even located. Where is it stored? Where is the physical location of the servers? I would recommend asking for copies of the data security policy. And then what happens if the data is interrupted, or is there any kind of recovery plan that they have? What's the logical and physical security they have, for example? Physical security is still a role. These servers exist somewhere. They're not in the clouds is a metaphor. So there has to be some kind of physical security. The other point I would worry about as a customer is, who has access to my data? I have intellectual property I'm storing in the cloud, and I want to protect them. Let's say it's trade secrets, where there's a definition of reasonable security, which is the sine qua non of a trade secret. And if others have access to the data, will the trade secrets be protected? How is the data processed? Is it encrypted while it's in transit, or is it open sesame? Does a subscription agreement, almost every state in the United States has a data breach notification law. So how does a subscription agreement address data breach notification? Because the notification obligation is often going to be in the customer. So if a customer, such as Target, which is a large store, if they have a breach, the subscription agreement, you need at minimum, you need some cooperation by the provider. So that's one of the first terms that I would think about is data security. I also think that you have to think about what sector you're in. For example, if you're in the medical sector, you're going to be responsible for reasonable security under HIPAA, which only applies to the industry. In the United States, privacy regulations are often sectorial. In the financial security industry, for example, there may be specific requirements for security, and can the cloud provider comply with those requirements? I also think that there are state privacy laws, which vary from state to state. Massachusetts happens to have a fairly strong one. And there may be special protections for personal information, which requires things like encryption. So Massachusetts, for example, requires storage, and a Massachusetts resident has to have a written information security program, and so the provider, of course, has to comply.
The WISP.